more. KKFI, you're on the air. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
All right, now I'm getting mad.
Anger. Control your anger. All right, so if you are trying to call, let's everybody stop, count to 10, pick up the phone, call again. We'll start it all over. Because there's some things that happen when you make phone calls in the middle of the night. Like some lines get transferred over to the main line office, and you're leaving a voicemail somewhere that I will never get. So, and if you're calling right now, I see the light saying that the phone is ringing, but it's not showing up on my phone, which means I don't. There we go. I got one. KKFI, you're on the air. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from? I got nothing. So I'm going to quit. I'm going to count to 10 myself and just move on forward to this other thing. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I got one more hour. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I am going to be attempting to bring to you the suicide from last week that had to be short-circuited because of some editing errors. A few bombs got through. And we're going to resolve that this time and let you hear what you should have heard last week. And hopefully you'll hear right now what you should hear as a caller. You're on the air. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from? All right. Now I'm starting to wonder if I didn't do something else. KKFI, you hear me? All right. What's going on? I hate when this happens. It makes me feel horribly ineffective. KKFI. Because now I feel as though I have. Now I got you. There you are. Are you there, caller?
Hello?
There we got you. What's happening?
Hey, man, I want to know, why are we letting the Ukraine just do us like this?
The Ukraine?
Yeah, Russia, man. Just Putin. Why is he poking us out like this?
Well, that's what I was saying. The little bit of reading I did this afternoon and a little bit earlier in the week, they've been going through this for a long time, like 1,000 years, maybe even more than that. Like, I mean, the Ukrainians and the Russians.
But he's making us look weak in the eyes of the entire world. You know, we just like the laughing stock of the damn world. Putin, this guy, man, we against communism, you know, and so we need to defeat these guys, man. We need to go to war against them. We can't be looked at as cowards in the eyes of the world. This is America. This is the free world, man.
Why is that? Why can't we be looked at as whatever?
We can't. We don't take no stuff from nobody, and we just can't let these communists, these damn Russians, just talk to us any kind of way, just treat us any kind of way, just invade anybody and do whatever they want to do. We have balances and checks. We are the mightiest nation in the world for a reason. We can't be paper tigers. People are laughing at us, man, calling us poop butts, man. We're going to have to man up, man. You know, we're going to have to do what we got to do. I mean, pride, man. We got to have that American pride, man. We just can't be talked out by people like Putin, by Russia, by these communists, man.
So what is it we should do?
It's embarrassing, man. I'm embarrassed to be an American because these guys are just punking us out. We walking with our head between our legs, our tails between our legs. Man, we need to stand up. We need to be a stand-up nation. We need to make their ass out of a parking lot or whatever. I don't give a damn. Hey, look, atomic energy can't stop the time. None of them can stop the time. And so we need to stand up, man, and quit being scared. Rush Limbaugh was right. We need to do something about this, man. Everybody's making us look silly.
So you think you really, Brother Love, think we need to send your sons and daughters over there to...
We need to do it. We need to do it. In defense of liberty, in defense of freedom, we need to do it.
I don't know, Brother Love.
I do, man. And this is America. We need to take our country. Because because people are laughing at us, making us cowards, calling us paper tigers. You hear what I'm saying? And so we're going to have to just man up and do what we've got to do, man, to keep our sovereignty.
Yeah, I'm just...
God bless America.
I'm just not seeing it, Brother Love. He's gone. Brother Love likes to drop the microphone. Bam! Chew on that. And that's cool. If you want to do it, pick it up and call it. 816-931-5534. That is 931-KKFI. And I'll do my best to get you on the radio. We got ourselves about 55 minutes of a show left. So I'm going to just change gears and say I miss the old days of video stores. I got Netflix, so I can watch stuff anytime, anywhere, on my phone, on my iDevice, my Nook, on my computer. Got an Xbox kind of hookup kind of thingamajig. Uh-oh, Brother Love is still on it. Hold on, Brother Love. Let me get you on the radio, because you going. We want people to hear you. Come on, Brother Love. Share the word. Are you there? Oh, that was.
Hey, man, it's Uncle Fester.
Oh, Uncle Fester.
Hey, man, what's up?
What's happening?
Hey, man.
What's on your mind?
Brother Love's out of his damn mind, man. In the first place, there's a bunch of neo Nazis in the Ukraine that overthrew the democratically elected government.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
give me a freaking break. What? So what, Brother Love? We're supposed to go in and for freedom and democracy like we did in Iraq and Libya and Afghanistan. Give me a break. We're a laughing stock of the world because we go and we take whatever we want and we kick whoever's ass we want without any rule of law whatsoever. That's why we're a laughing stock.
What makes us ineffective even more so in this particular situation, I think, is because of our behavior over the last 20 years.
Well, that's right. We didn't have the moral authority to do anything in Libya.
Yeah.
So, I mean, somebody ought to be impeached over that. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
Since when do we go to war on the authority of NATO? I mean, that's so blatantly unconstitutional, it's ridiculous.
Well, I would submit to you that there is a case whereby we could have gotten sucked into this much faster had the Ukraine become a full member of NATO, where we would be, like, before you even have time to talk about whether we should do anything or not,
Look, people don't engage their brain. I mean, look, you don't go, it's like trying to put missile bases on Russia's border. How long do you think we'd put up with that crap?
Right.
Do you think if Russia came over here and said, we're gonna make Mexico a satellite state? No, by the way, we're gonna ring the Mexican border with anti-ICBM missiles. I mean, people need to engage their brains, man.
Well, Uncle Fester, we already know what they would do because we had a Cuban Missile Crisis over exactly that. You can't put missiles right next to us, or we'll...
And you can't put missiles right next to Russia. No,
right.
No sovereign country. You can't. Yeah, and people say, oh, it's reasonable. We can. We're just going to use them to shoot down Iranian missiles. Yeah, right. Like, I'm buying that. Yeah, we're going to put missile bases in Poland so we can shoot down Iranian missiles. Right.
Exactly. And I want the other caller to know that I do have you online, and I'll get you here in just a second. I didn't want you to think you were being ignored. No, you're right, Uncle Fester. It seems to me that our previous actions have made us, have weakened our stance here. I mean, it's because for me, from the get-go, if I was going to complain about Kerry saying that you're supposed to do this a certain way, I would have complained about it being comical to say after we just invaded a couple of countries.
Right.
You know what I mean? We are in the process of getting out of a couple of countries that we went into kind of.
Well, I believe that when I see it. But,
right,
you know, basically what we're doing there is we're getting combat troops out and leaving the contractors there.
Right.
Because the mercenary groups, like, well, they're not Blackwater anymore, whatever
right.
they're calling themselves
CD
these days. But
yeah,
but that's a big industry. Hey, but let me touch on, you were talking about, And here's the thing, you know, you want to talk about, you know, taking the government back and, you know, this kind of stuff. And I got to tell you, man, I've been doing this for a long time. I mean, I was doing this 25 years ago before there was any, you know, Tea Party, before there was any Alex Jones, before there was any of this. You know, I got into this a long, long time ago. So I've been tracking this kind of stuff for a long time. And I think it's so bad. I got to tell you, I'm thinking if there's an opportunity, I'm going to try to get out of the country because I can see what's coming. I mean, I can see.
Lost that one. Sorry, buddy. Are you there, fellas? Yeah, I got you.
I mean, you know, I'm seriously thinking about buying a boat and going to the Caribbean or something. It's not like you can really get away from it, but I mean, you know, I don't take movies as real life, but I'm reminded of the line in the last Rambo movie where did you see the last Rambo movie?
Where the
missionaries go into Burma, and they find Stallone, and they say, "We're going to go in there and change things." And Stallone says, "You got guns?" And they go, "Of course not." And Stallone says, "Then you're not changing anything."
Right.
You know, and that's basically, I think, the point that we're at, because the powers that be, look, you know, I've been sitting around waiting for this New World Order thing, and it occurred to me the other day, you know, we're not waiting on the New World Order's here. It's been here for a while. You know, and this country, and the thing is, you got all these people running around with their cell phones. Everybody, you know, you can't even have a conversation anymore. Everybody's got their face buried in their smartphone. Nobody's, I mean, there's some people that are paying attention to what's going on, and unfortunately, not unfortunately, but a vast majority of them are right-wingers. The progressives don't seem to want to wake up to the reality. And see, people are still playing the game, Michael T. It's like, well, Obama's going to get in there and change things. No, he's not. Well, a Republican's going to get in there and change things. Well, no, he's not. Nobody's going to get in there and change anything. And there's a small segment of the population that's trying to foment change, but it's not enough. We got to have everybody on the same page. And until this left-right paradigm bickering keeps going on, ain't nothing going to change. And as long as people are wrapped up in their Facebook and sports and pornography and all this other crap, nothing's going to change.
Right.
And it's just going to get progressively worse.
And I would tell you, Uncle Fester, that I think you are absolutely right. That it's not going to change until, and this gets back to that guy I had earlier, Stan, and he's right. It's going to change when we make it change, and until then, it's not. And we just got to keep on, like I think Jake has hit the nail on the head with the name of his website, Go Find the Others, as we continue to make each other aware of what's going on and we point this stuff out. It becomes more and more like the emperor has no clothes. I will remind folks of that ancient, it's not ancient, it's only a couple hundred years, but I'll remind folks of that story that it was the leadership, the king and the advisors that were fooled by their own pride and hubris, right? To believe that the emperor, they faked themselves out to believe that the emperor had new clothes. And it wasn't until a child like popped the bubble and said the emperor has no clothes, and then everyone like kind of was like, yeah.
Well, you know, and I think Michael T, the thing is you reach a point, I think we've reached critical mass. To me, thank God for people like Alex Jones and InfoWars, and those aren't the only sites that I use, but, you know, it takes some people with a little bit of, how shall we say, testicular fortitude to get in and just go after these people, you know. And there's not a lot of those people out there, especially in the mainstream media. But I think we've reached critical mass in the point of, you reach a point where people are awake, but then you reach a point of, once people are awake, they wake up, and then they go, well, there's nothing I can do about it, or what am I going to do about it? So it doesn't do any good to have everybody awake if they're not going to do anything.
Well, but you know? But if they hit snooze like I just did, they wake back up, right? They wake back up, and then they go, oh, wait a minute, there's two more up. Oh, wait a minute, now there's 10 of us. And eventually they go, wait, let's go ahead and do something.
Well, dude, yeah, and that's a good point, because when I first started doing this, like I alluded to earlier, when I first started doing this 25 years ago, I would tell, you know, maybe 1 in 100 people, 1 in 150 people, you talk about the New World Order and this stuff, or even 15, 20 years ago, and they look at you like you just landed from another planet. And now it's more like 1 in 10, 1 in 9, 1 in 8, something right. like that. So people are definitely waking up.
Before I let you go, Uncle Fester, let me give you, since it is springtime and I was talking about planting and stuff, let me tell you something. that I heard about planting plants, which hasn't actually panned out for me just yet. But
that's interesting, because I'm just wrapping up putting my survival garden in.
I put in some ground cover in a spot in my yard, and they told me when I put it in, they said, have you heard this before? It sleeps, then it creeps, then it leaps. Right? So when you put this ground cover in, the ground cover is like moss or something that's going to grow and spread.
I've got a bunch of it in my yard, yeah.
When you put that ground cover in, when you plant it, it's not going to do anything. It's not even going to grow. It's just going to sleep because it was used to being somewhere, and it's like, I don't know. Do I want to go out into this dirt? You might just dig me up again. I'm going to just stay right here. I don't know none of these roots. So it just stays right there for a season.
And hey, brother, let me say one more thing before I hop off. You were talking about the license plate readers. I just want to make a point where all this is headed, I think.
In the next seasons, right, that's when you get the what they call the leap, when it just spreads everywhere.
Yeah, and I think that's what's happening.
That's where we are, right. It's we're at that point where it's like, okay, you're looking around, you see a handful of people. We're in that creep stage still, I think, because the 9/11 stuff, whether it, you know, whatever happened, we can say that there was misactivity by our government, right?
That's putting it mildly.
Well, but that's putting it controversially, right? That is not controversial. Okay,
right.
I'm not saying George Bush took down the towers. I'm saying there was misactivity by government agencies that led to 9/11 happening, right?
And let me say this, Michael. You know, one thing that really convinced me about 9/11 was, if you go on there, there's a pilot. I can't recall his name. In Pilots for 9/11 Truth, who flew the exact plane, not the same type of plane, the exact plane that hit one of the towers.
Right.
And he's a decorated combat pilot from Vietnam and flew, oh, I don't know, like 27 years for Pan Am and different airlines, right?
Right.
He said he couldn't do it. He said the maneuvers the plane made on that day.
I don't want to get into that so much.
So the notion that some hijackers got in there and did it is absolutely ridiculous.
I don't want to get into that.
Let me say this. You were talking about license plate readers, and I just want to say where all this is headed. It's headed to implantable microchips. That's where it's headed, and it's, you know, being a Christian, I think that's the mark of the beast. But that's, you know, that's the solution to all this. You know, you put a little chip in your hand or in your forehead, and all of a sudden you've got your passport. That's how you collect your check. That's how you buy your groceries. And you know, when that happens, when it gets to that point, I don't know. I'm gonna go live in the woods or something.
Well, you never know how it's going to unfold. Hopefully not that drastically. But, hey, Uncle Fetcher, let me get some other folks in, because the phone is actually ringing off the hook, and I'm going to be leaving in about 30 minutes, so let me get them what they want.
All right, brother. Have a good night.
All right, now. And everybody just wants to hear themselves on the radio, and I don't blame you, because I do. That's why I get up in the middle of the night. Come all the way down here so I can hear myself. What's going on? Is this Dave?
Oh, my goodness. I absolutely...
How are you,
Dave? Do not want to hear myself on the radio. It's horrible. But I'll just say that, you know, and the previous caller was just way off base.
Which one?
Oh, the one that's talking about bombing the heck out of everybody.
Oh, okay.
And, geez, my goodness. Uncle Fester seemed to, what I could hear, you know, I couldn't hear the other callers.
Yeah,
because I didn't hear
put you...
your retort. And so, I don't know, I got switched over, and I think I then heard his salutary comments. But anyway, I just want to tell you, do you have any access to the Consortium News?
Consortium News?
Yeah.
I'll check them out.
It's a website. But the big deal is gas shale gas in the Ukraine. Everybody else in Europe has put up all kinds of... He said the Europeans are very defensive about BS that we seem to let destroy our lands and our food supplies. They are very anti-GMO, very anti-fracking, and very much so. But apparently the Ukrainians are not, and it lays it out for you in, maybe Robert Perry, I don't know if he is, the writer for Consortium News, but, or a writer. Anyway, they are just going great bonkers trying to become, quote-unquote, energy independent away from Russia.
Right.
But who is the worst people that they can invite in? Is Western oil companies from Royal Dutch Shell to Exxon Mobil to BP to
right. So if they, so your concern is if they bring in the Western oil companies
and
they bring in their armies,
they're fracking and they're causing earthquakes and pollution and all kinds of things, which have been documented. And in fact, did you see where the Fed, the family down in Texas just won $3 million from a fracking case because of health concerns?
Really?
Yes.
Boy.
And
I'll bet they're fighting furiously to get that overturned.
Well, they won't.
That's a heck
apparently,
of a precedent.
They've got everything documented, and the family literally documented everything.
Just don't underestimate the power of money in the legal justice system. That's all I'm kind of trying to say there.
Oh, I know what you're trying to say. But there are good judges and a few, but there are a few. But anyway, it's just a mess. And this fracking baloney is the worst thing since applesauce.
Right.
It is. I would have said something different,
yeah.
But I would have been cut off.
Right, because that's what I do.
So I have to make up, you know, make up things that go along, and I'm living on 2 hours sleep.
Right. Well, hey, Dave, I've got to play a spot here, so let me do that, and then I got a couple of calls waiting to get through, so let me...
Yeah, trailer. Peace.
All right, you have a good one, sir. All right, I do have another caller that is waiting. If you will just hold just briefly, I will be with you in 25 seconds. But let's do this first.
Noel Langley gained international attention as one of the screenwriters of The Wizard of Oz. Before that, he wrote a children's book, In the Land of Green Ginger, that was an overnight success. He wrote a special version just for Pacifica Radio in 1962, and read it himself, and you can hear it Wednesday morning at 5 on From the Vault.
All right, we have another call in. What's your name? What part of town are you calling in from, caller?
You just called me back.
Did I really? I called you back?
Yeah.
How weird is that? All right, well,
see ya.
All right, bye, see Dave. You. That is most weird. Now I'm probably messing up a whole nother thing here. and we'll see if I'm not totally ruining everything. KK Fire, you're on the air. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from? Hello, caller.
Hello.
There we go. I got you. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
Hey, this is Bill from Kansas City. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? You're sounding older and different. What's up?
Well, I just got over a case of strep throat, so oh, okay. I couldn't talk for nearly a week. It was hell, man.
Late for puberty, so I thought it had to be something.
Yeah, man. But hey, I'm just calling. You know, I caught the last end of the show here, and man, maybe I have changed though. I don't feel so doom and gloom. I feel I feel like since I've been calling in, like 8 years into this show,
right.
I've seen a lot of positive change, and you know, the world's not a good, happy place. But I mean, man, I think we've done a good job for just those short 8 years of turning things around, and I do think more people are awake, and I think we're going to start seeing even more, you know, positive changes.
Absolutely, I think so too, and I have started kind of changing the way I feel or think about the whole, even the New World Order and the machinations of powerful people, and what I mean is I think that they're just doing what they do. You know what I'm saying?
Right, they're going to get theirs.
If you go to the cafeteria, if you're in school, college, or even if you work at some place big enough to have a food court, go to the mall. If you go to the food court every day, you'll start to kind of see some people, and you kind of gravitate towards somebody, and then you'll find that you have some interests, and you'll just become supporters of one another. It's not necessarily a conspiracy. It's just, hey, this is a big world. You got some interests. I got some interests. They kind of meet. Why don't we work together a little bit? And we do that. And then it becomes conspiracy when you wake up one day and find out that those guys have been working together for a long time, and you've been running around on your own, not getting ahead the way you could if you had been working together, which is why I like the idea of unions and whatnot, so that... That we, again, it's an issue of, like, you know, when the people, the individuals, kind of not give over that control to their, I don't know if that's making any sense at all to what you were trying to say, so.
No, it does make some sense because, again, I'll, you know, like I said, since I've been calling in, you know, I've met people, you know, through events and, you know, just different things and, you know, people you've talked to and, you know, hey, you know, we share this idea. Let's go and rally for this certain idea, even though we might not agree on everything, you know. And what we've seen is some positive changes. And I know, like, education-wise, I know more now about, like, Monsanto and stuff like that. And I would say your average American is coming around to stuff like that. I mean, it hasn't changed yet, obviously, but like for an example, you know, the drug laws, that's about to change.
Right. Yeah. I've said that before, that we can clearly see in the cases of however you feel about these particular two things, gay marriage and marijuana laws, you can clearly see that there are more and more people who are changing their viewpoints.
Right.
And, you know, again, regardless of how you feel about that, you may feel yay about one and not about the other or whatever, but however you feel about it, it cannot be, I don't think it can be adequately argued against it being a move of, you know, a shift in popular thought processes. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And it's more than just one. You know, you like some people who might listen to the show or some, you know, call in or just in general, they might have a more a progressive thought process. Whereas, you know, someone like me, I want I want a lifestyle where it involves, you know, less government. So, I mean, that's where, you know, some of these things overlap. And it's, you know, where just because, you know, someone might have a different philosophy than me, that doesn't mean they're a Nazi. And it's like something like gay marriage or you know, marijuana laws. It's something where we can come together and be like, you know, hey, that's messed up. This needs to change.
Right. And without getting too deep into the actual nuts and bolts of a particular topic, let me just say that part of what I see is healthy in having the discussion is the two camps that you just talked about, right? Somebody who's more progressive and somebody who's more less government, right? Or who's more or less government. You know what I'm saying. So
right.
Here's where the value of conversation comes in, is that when we can get past calling each other names and disagreeing with one another and can actually hear one another state your case and state what it is you're concerned about and what you're trying to do and why you want to do what you're trying to do and where you want to go and all of that stuff. If we let that unpack a little bit, what we can often find is that we're not really at odds about where we want to go even, but
no.
How we get there. And if you get two people of the camps that you just mentioned, right, because somebody who's liberal is probably going to be more towards, like, we need a federal law that says you can't do this or that or the other thing. I'm just speaking in generalities.
Right.
And somebody who's less government-oriented is going to be like, no, we shouldn't have a federal law against that. At the most, we should have a local law. Well, okay, then let's look at that. Because if we can agree on that much, right, then go ahead, Mr. Progressive, turn around and make sure that your little community is on board properly. And then that can grow organically, which is actually better than federally, right, from the
Absolutely.
Top down. Because from the top down, you run the risk of the wrong guy being at the top or at different choke points, right? And
right.
And you know, I had this conversation with a buddy of mine a lot, like as it relates to like education, let's say, right? Now, I am not one who's freaking out about Common Core. I don't think that that is some evil plot to take over your education and whatnot. And I don't think it removes power from the teachers. I don't think it removes power from the districts and from the school boards, your local school boards and all that kind of stuff. But it does call for somebody to fit within a common set of values. Okay, now we can argue about whether those values, what those values are or whatnot. But here's where the problem, because I don't think that actually fits it, I'm going to use it, but I want to throw that caveat out there. But let's say the wrong guy comes in and sets it, you know, through whatever internal procedure in the administration, comes out with these Common Core principles, and they're like evil, like really evil, like you shouldn't salute the flag, and you shouldn't, you know, you should hate white people because white people are evil and have destroyed the world. Okay,
right.
Let's say that's what it is. Well, that's a terrible thing to teach, and because that's
right.
a terrible thing to teach, it would be terrible for that to be the mandate for everywhere in the country. But that's not what we have. What we have
right.
is like, what we have is you in your district can make a difference, right? You can make some changes and whatnot. And you can even buck those national mandates if they come down that way. If you know, focus internally and gird up the strength of your people. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it can be done and should be done that way. Where the value of the conversation comes in, and I'm sorry for being long-winded, But where the value of the conversation comes in is when we can agree that we are trying to get somewhere. And now if I let you speak, then I can come back and say, okay, here's how we can get to that point by using just our local government, by using our local activity rather than having the federal come in. You know, if I can go to my community and tell them, hey, we need to make sure that if we're going to get these police scanners, that we have an access, that we right. have a transparency. So that I don't know about the rest of the community and the rest of the country, because these things are going everywhere. Kansas City is not unique. Like when I brought this to your attention back in 2003 or four, it was in Cincinnati and it was a pilot program. And I told you then it would come. And here it is 10 years later. It's on our doorsteps. OK. And it's all over the country. Now,
are these the ones that scan the license plate?
Yes. And what I was okay. talking about earlier in the Kansas City Star yesterday, there was a story and they talked about they gave a tally of who all's got them. And there's several cities in Kansas that don't have them. My city is one of those. Now, if I go to my, Mission Hills committee council meeting, because, I live in Mission Hills. That's just the way I roll. but if I go to my local town and I say, listen, I would like to address this issue. I know we don't have a license plate reader. Mm-hmm. I know that we're going to get one because there's federal subsidies to get them. I'm sure they're right. wrapped in there somewhere. Somehow there's a way that you're going to get this without a cost. So why in the hell wouldn't you take it?
Well, right.
Well, here's what I would like to implement right here, right now, before we even get to that point. I'd like to make a law that I guess it would be an ordinance, that if a city police officer for the city of, I'm not giving my city out, but let's just say Olathe doesn't have one. And so I say, okay, if Olathe gets these things, then what we want to do is make sure that the people who access that database, that there is a record that they have accessed that database and what information they have pulled. So that if somebody mm-hmm. comes along and says, well, you got me because of this, but the reason you got me was because this guy, or you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That we can then step back the process and ensure that the process was fair and balanced. Right.
Right.
Because that's it's in the Constitution.
Right.
Due process.
Man, these scanner things, that really scares me. I'll admit right now I might be driving around with expired tags.
Well, see, but it's not going to catch you for that because it's going to be like, it might, though. I mean, eventually, sure it can.
They will.
I mean, I heard something. I wasn't here last week, and I heard Ben mention something about IRS and maybe it was something else I was listening to. I don't know. But the notion that, they could start working for the IRS, in effect, and saying, you're driving down the streets of Kansas City, and then the police pull you over and say, hey, just want to let you know, the IRS has a flag on here that says you owe back taxes for the year. Now that's a scary, scary thought. But again, that's where we say this is what we will or will not allow our police officers to do. This is what communities all around this country have done in relation to both gay marriage and marijuana laws, right? They have said, I don't care what the federal law is. You're not going to waste your time arresting people for marijuana. If they get caught and they happen to have marijuana, then maybe you can use that or whatever. You know what I mean? They do the same thing as it relates to immigration laws, right? There are communities that have said, don't even worry about stopping people and asking them for their green card. And then there's other communities that have said, you stop every person who even begins to look like they don't belong here. So it can be done locally. And that's where the fight needs to happen, because I don't think we're going to get all of the chiefs of police and all of the the law enforcement unions are and organizations are to say, we don't want this. This is a little too much. These police scanners, we don't need this. They're never going to turn that down. Just like never going to turn down the SWAT vehicle. You know what I mean? Every police department has a little tank somewhere. What the hell do you need a tank for? Well, we got it for free.
Well, and I'm not surprised that they're trying to do something after the red light camera. I don't know if that's ever going to come back up or not, but I figure the way they look at that is that's lost revenue, and they got to do something to get that money back.
Exactly, and that's why you're not going to get them to push back, you have to push back. And the way you do it is you say, hey, if you're going to do this, then we need to make sure that this is above board. And then you neutralize its effect, the negative effects. Like I was talking earlier about the red light, or I mean the police scanners, right? These these address or license plate scanners. If you are caught, if your car is in a known area of some sort, right? Like I threw out Independence Avenue, like at this hour, 2:30 in the morning, there's probably not a good reason for a Johnson County license plate to be on that street.
Right.
If the policeman can pull a record, and I don't know how this database works, but if they can go in and say, okay, give me all of the Johnson County license plates that were scanned between 10 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning, right? Between 10 o'clock at night and 4 o'clock in the morning on Independence Avenue. And then I start going to those people as individuals and saying, hey, what's up, buddy? What you doing? What you doing? What do they call it? Cruising the boulevard at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, there's a lot of bad activity over there. I would hate for you to be caught up in something. I don't need no cop calling me with that nonsense.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of work, though, wouldn't it?
Do what?
That'd be creepy. That'd be creepy.
That would be very creepy. Uh-oh, this is not working right, Bill. I tried to pull up the other caller, and it's kind of bleeding into each other. Clayton, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm sorry, brother.
No. I'm glad you're taking my call. I got kind of a quick comment. I know we're always kind of talking about too much police, too much government, but the thing is that to play devil's advocate for just a moment, I mean, you think back until the highway shooter was caught. That was going on like right around where I live.
Right.
So for like 2 weeks, as I'm driving around, on the highways and through the Grandview Triangle and whatnot, I mean, there was police officers posted up everywhere.
Yeah, I remember seeing them.
So to me, it's like, okay, well, now this really looks like a police state to me. I mean, just this little like 30 square mile area that I'm, residing in, there's police officers everywhere. And ultimately, it really did make me feel more safe because I felt, at any moment, somebody could start shooting at me, as I'm driving around. And, I'm constantly looking around, at other drivers. I'm slowing down, speeding up. So, if I'm on the highway, if I got somebody coming up
next
to me,
I got bad news for you, Clayton. Clayton?
Go ahead, man.
I got bad news for you. That made you look suspicious.
Well, it probably did. I ain't going to lie, but the thing is, I didn't hear, when that case was going on, nobody at that point was complaining that there was too much of a police state in that area. People were thankful for it. So, when people feel terrorized or afraid, they're going to accept more of a police state, I guess you could call it.
No, absolutely.
And my thing is, too, it's like, there's still 8 shootings out of that 20 shootings that are unsolved, that were unrelated to that particular person.
Well, that they can't necessarily say that was him.
So, I mean, I don't know. To me, it's going to continue to happen, and it's going to continue to, the police force is going to escalate their technology and everything else just because we got these few wackos out here that want to do stupid stuff like that.
Well,
do
you really think that there are other shooters, or that they just, those are the ones they could tie him to, and he probably did the others also?
I think probably maybe, let's say, 3 out of that 20-some-odd shootings, that it was probably random events caused by other people.
Really? I don't think so. And here's why I say that, because I've known a lot of people. I've known a lot of crazy, off-balance people. I ain't never known nobody who, like, really was thinking, like, I'd go shoot on the highway. I mean, I have. I'll tell you. I'll be honest with you, okay? Michael T., one thing I am is honest on here. I have had the thought randomly cross through my head as I'm driving, I'm stuck in traffic, because I'm just a weird thinker. And I have looked off into the hillside and thought, man, And I've talked to you about this before, Clayton, my little idea of a book, The Captains of Chaos or The Kings of Chaos, right? Like, you know how you could, like, really screw up? Like, I ain't talking about terrorism. It's not about killing people. Terrorism is about scaring the hell out of people.
And if exactly.
If you posted up, seriously, this guy was an amateur. You post up in the woods off of many of the highways in this city with a high-powered rifle, you could take out a handful of people if you were a marksman and cause real fear. I mean, real fear.
Exactly.
Like,
and
the fear that I had during this guy.
You know, if you pre-plan, if you were a person that was to pre-plan it, you could easily get away with it, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. Because we do live in a police state, there's so much stuff that we wouldn't even know that they are using.
Well, the response time to, I mean, for the people being shot at, you know, and I hate to even talk about, like, stuff.
I know. You don't want to talk. It's like, I ain't giving nobody no ideas. I'm just saying, if a knucklehead like me can think of it, that's why I don't get all, like, I think all this anti-terrorism nonsense is just that nonsense, because if I was wanting to be a terrorist, you know, I could think of no less than 5 ways that I could create havoc in this city. And there's not a whole lot you could do about it, because it would be silly for you to spend so much protective money against the things that I would do that you couldn't really do it. But once it started happening, it would cripple the economy, and the people would be, like you say, begging for a police state. I'm not going to explain to you how I would do it.
Kind of like,
look for that in my upcoming novel, Kings of Chaos.
I mean, you're kind of talking yourself into a police state right now. I mean, that's kind of what it sounds to me.
Right.
I mean, it will be accepted at some point.
But again, it comes down to us being more
vigilant,
and like, as we deal with people, this is the other thing. It's like, we gotta. I've been thinking about how to deal with this one for a while. It's like, and this is gonna sound weird that I'm bringing this up now, but I have been in public restrooms. I've noticed this over probably the last year.
Okay.
What the hell is wrong with you people? Soap and water. Wash your freaking hands.
Wait, we went from terrorism to soap and water.
Well, and here's why. Because I feel like I should feel empowered to turn around and tell a guy, why are you leaving? You really should wash your hands. Don't touch that doorknob. You know, we should feel empowered to tell people, you sound like a crackpot, Bob. You know what I mean? We should be able to say, Bob, I'm not saying you're a racist or a Klansman, but if you keep talking like that, I am going to be like, well, he was talking about abducting some chick. You know what I mean? You're going to be like, he was joking, but I don't know. So at some point, you got to tell that guy, hey, man, you got to cut that out, because that could be ugly. You know what I'm saying? You can't.
You already tell people that?
Do what?
I said, you don't already tell people that?
I do.
Mean, like, with the racist stuff, you know, if someone says something racist, I say, hey, look, man, you're a dumbass. I mean, it's just, there's no in between.
But when it comes to across the board, we have to be able to feel more empowered. Like, if they're, because, like, okay, here's the thing. And, you know, we've had, like, a couple of incidences lately with, like, they're old people. This is who does these racist things. Like, the guy who went to the Jewish seminary or thing, they're old people who are mad that the race war never came. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's some people out there like that, but there's also people out there that are, let's just say, really depressed and, you know, reclusive and just have certain disorders that, you know,
yeah, those are the people that are susceptible.
Random, acts of violence.
Right, and those are the people that are susceptible to those people. But, I mean, the ones who like that dude got in his car and drove all the way up here, I have to think that he was, like, I mean, we may or may not get what his motivations were. I mean, his immediate motivations. Obviously, the guy is a lifelong hater of the Jews or whatever, right? I'm sure he does not hold any love for me either. But he acted on it because I got the feeling that he's just old and he knows it ain't happening. He probably found out that his grandkids are marrying. You know what I'm saying? His beautiful twin blonde daughters just got married to a black guy and a Jewish guy. And he was torn. When he got to 435, he's coming up 71. He's on 435. He's like, do I go to the Jews in Johnson County or to the blacks down in the hood? Yeah, he just stuck on his hate. You know? And where are they? Bill, you're supposed to be rising up right now. And you're talking about if somebody says racist stuff, you go, you're a dumbass. He's supposed to be like, you're supposed to be coming around. Where are you? And so he's just frustrated, and he acts out, and it's terribly sad, terribly. Wow. But it's not some epidemic. You know what I mean? This is the last gasps of a dying rhetoric, I think. I could be wrong.
But you look at, like, the kids that, like, go shoot up their schools, you know. What kind of motivation does a teenager have to, you know, go into a college, you know, into his college class and shoot, you know, start shooting fellow students? Or, you know, like, what was that kid's name? Cho at, oh gosh, I can't think of the name of the university. I mean, that's been years ago now.
Virginia,
Sandy Hook and those other things that have occurred since then. You know, it's like you can be vigilant to a certain degree, but then it almost becomes that police state where everybody is watching everybody and there's, you know, the government has cameras on everybody because nobody trusts anybody.
Right.
So I don't know where the happy medium is. That's where I kind of get to. It's like, well, sometimes we need to have all this, you know, vigilant police force. But then there's times where it's like, you know, when do you say enough is enough? You know.
That's definitely the hard call. That's the hard call on it.
Right.
So, but anyway, listen. I need to get off here because I got to get to work. So.
All right, buddy.
All right, take it easy. I'm listening.
I think that, you know, a good start is once it starts interfering with people's lives, when the police start abusing their power. Like, I didn't have a problem with that, with them patrolling 435 and stuff, because it sounded like, you know, they weren't pulling people over left and right and doing checkpoints and stuff.
Right.
They were actually trying to stop the shooter. I have no problem with that, honestly. And I know, like, in Kansas City, a lot of policemen, like in the suburbs, I kind of have an issue with, because I feel like they're just there to harass you and make money for their city. But, you know, in Kansas City, those guys are fighting real crime, and, you know, I feel like they leave you alone for the most part and, you know, let you be yourself and live and stuff like that.
Right.
So I have no problem with your average police officer. I mean, we need, you know, society, obviously, they need policemen.
But it's just like everything else. You need rules to make it run smoothly, and we need to make sure. That's why I say, like, stuff with, like, these police scanners or these license scanners. If there is a sensible safeguard in there that simply says, we know who checked and what you were checking, you know, that's all. If we're following that closely, then we can avoid the problems that make it, you know, objectionable to me. Because what makes it objectionable to me is the abuse that I know will come. Not that I think will come, that I know will come. Because we had a SWAT team arrested in Wyandotte County. Huh. Right? We had a police officer in Kansas City who was making people give him sexual favors in order to get out of a ticket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You when you have these things going on, then you know that they will happen. So the question becomes, how do you make safeguards against that so that that doesn't keep happening over and over and over and over again? And it's so bad that 10 years ago, I started doing a thing, little segment, and I didn't do it for very long. But there was a little website I found called, it was when I first started hearing about podcasts. It was called Bad Cop No Donut. And the guy every week managed to come up with like 5 to 10, sometimes more than that, cases in the week.
Wow.
of terrible police in inappropriate behavior, whether it be, like I said, getting sexual favors from people or be, you know, 40 shots into some girl who was asleep in her car. You know, the Amadou Diallo, you got the guy that was like, I can't remember that dude's name, the one that they, he's like in a bathroom down the hall and there's some guy who's like assaulting him with the handle from a plunger. And if memory serves, he didn't like find the plunger next to the guy and say, I'm going to use this. He went and got it and walked up the hall with it. No one's stopping this guy? No one's stopping this? There's not a procedure in place to make sure that that doesn't happen? Because right off the bat, you know, just from me watching a number of well-written police dramas, I can tell you that the way you stop that is like, Bill, if you and I are partners, we don't see the guy by ourselves.
Right.
There's always two of us there. So that one of us can say, hey, Bill, calm down, buddy. We can run the good cop, bad cop on him or something. But right. to have like this willy-nilly, like we don't know and well, you know. And then I had this story a few weeks ago. And that, you folks just got to look this stuff up because I'm not going to – I can't do it right now. But the it was a case from – I want to say – I can't remember the – it's been 6 or 7 years ago was the – original case where a DEA agent was driving down the road here in town. A guy cut him off on the highway or driving. He pulled him over like, but like pulled him over the way I would pull you over by like running you over and then proceeded to beat the hell out of the guy. And when the police comes, he goes, I'm a DEA agent. And they go, oh, well, hey, you're a DEA agent. What are you going to do? I mean, hey, except for one cop who said, what's that got to do with anything? That has nothing to do with this. And he got reprimanded and disciplined. Well, that's back-asswards.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Right? And if that's the way things are working, I totally messed that up. It's supposed to be bass-ackwards, right? But anyway, if that's all jacked up, then that's what we got to fix.
Right.
But instead of it being fixed, the story was that now, flash forward, 2014, Kansas legislature is working on a bill that would allow for the person who reports the guy to be given a charge. So if you report a policeman who abuses you in some fashion and you can't make it stick because the boys in blue are the ones who are checking it out, and if you can't make it stick, then they can now turn around and charge you. If this legislation passes, then they could turn around and charge you with a crime. Well, now you don't want to report. You don't want. You just are happy that all I got was a tooth broken.
Right.
That's all I lost was a tooth. I'm done.
That's Kansas for you.
I'm sorry. Yeah, but it's also Missouri and everywhere else, right?
I mean, I know. But that kind of legislation, that's crazy.
Right. But that's why I say, like, okay, now what that does to me is that makes me think I want to go to my town council meeting and say, okay, when we should get one of these readers, if any of our people have, I want a rule right now that says, because I've seen towns make rules that they don't even need to make. Lots of times. There was a town in Kansas not too long ago that I heard about that did something, because they were talking about passing a law that says you don't have to serve people who are gay or it's whatever, right? And one town in Kansas in the metro area, I think, maybe a couple, that had a rule that said you can't. I don't care what the state law says. We're telling you now, you can't do it here in our town.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, you can make preemptive laws. They do it all the time. You know, I've heard Lawrence has a rule or whatever they call it, that says that if they don't like do marijuana searches or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not their thing. They're like, we got other things to be worried about. That ain't one of them.
Right.
That doesn't mean go free. That just means we're not focusing on that.
Well, now, it'll be interesting to see, like, going forward, because I know in Kansas, they told they just passed a state law where they said your city ordinances on guns don't matter. Like, we make the rules.
Right.
So it'll be interesting.